Live, on air, online, and on the Highland Radio app. This is Highland Radio News.
Good evening, I'm Michaela Clark with the news at 5 o'clock. Coming up in this bulletin, the new County Donegal Development Plan for 2018 to 2024 has come into effect as of today. A meeting to discuss the need to source funding to reconstruct Swan Park in Buncrana is to be held next week at Leinster House. €2.24 million has been allocated to Donegal County Council under the Community Involvement Scheme, and design work has started on a new library and general education building at Letterkenny Institute of Technology. Those stories you follow in full, plus more, and we'll have the latest in sport with Kenny Harkin coming up at about 5:15. But first the news, the new County Donegal Development Plan 2018 to 2024 has come into effect as of today. The plan, which sets out a land use policy framework to guide how Donegal develops into the future, was adopted by members of Donegal County Council last month following extensive public consultations and engagement with numerous stakeholders. Cathaoirleach of Donegal County Council, Councillor Jerry McMonagle, says looking into the future, the plan contains the right balance for the county.
It's a key plan for the next 6 years and moving forward. We had a lot of discussions, the members with the executive and the planners around the formation of the plan. A lot of hard decisions were taken, but I think they were taken for the right reasons and for the good of the county. And I would like to thank the members for their support and indeed for their input to the plan. I think it's a plan that's for the future, and it's one that's going to help Donegal develop well into the future.
And indeed, as you said, there was much discussion in this, so now it is about leaving the discussions behind and moving on to develop the county.
Yeah, that's what it's about. As I say, we had a number of meetings where the members raised their concerns and also brought forward some very good motions and proposals. There's some executive took that away, come back with drafts, and again I think looking forward and how the county develops over the next 6 years, that we have a document there that I think that all the members can be proud of. That and I understand, you know, that we had to accept some of the stuff that maybe we might not totally agreed with, but I think the balance within the document is right, and it's right now that we move forward and start trying to implement all that is contained within the development plan.
€2.24 million has been allocated to Donegal County Council under the Community Involvement Scheme. Speaking on today's 9 till noon show, Transport Minister Shane Ross confirmed that it is part of a two-year programme worth €23 million nationally, with Donegal receiving the highest allocation. Minister Ross was also asked about commitments for outstanding projects such as the Bonnygate Link.
I've had applications, you know, for roads all over the country, and I'm not going to give a commitment, I'm sorry about that today, but I'm very, very aware of it because, you know, Donegal, I think, has possibly had more delegations to my office and knocking down the doors on this road and other roads, and we're very, very conscious about that. I can't give a commitment about this because, you know, the roads nationwide are a really big problem.
I know, but we're hearing constantly about, you know, new Lewis lines and all manner of things down in Dublin, major motorways, linkages. This is a road that's been on the agenda forever. It's the gateway into the west of the county. It's affecting us all. It would be a real game changer up here. And I know all these local politicians have worked very hard in trying to convince you of that, but we're starting to wonder why it's not happening at all, because we have waited an awful long time for it.
I'm completely sympathetic with what you say. All I can just say is this, that I have to measure everything up. Every county is sending the same message, so we have to be very careful with the limited resources that we have. But that is, I'm very conscious of that, and I imagine when I come up next month to the Gulf that I'll have another look at that road and receive further delegations and give it further attention. It's not something I'm going to forget.
A meeting to discuss the need to source funding to reconstruct Swan Park in Buncrana is to be held next week at Leinster House. Senior officials from the Department of Local Government, Donegal County Council, Vulture Ireland and local Oireachtas members will be present. Donegal Senator Padraig McLaughlin says the fact that no department has taken responsibility 10 months on to cover the cost of repairing the damage caused by the flash flooding on August the 22nd last year, estimated to be over €2 million, is outrageous. He says the meeting will be an opportunity to once again voice the need for funding from central government.
I've been seeking this meeting for months now, because what's happened here is that the various departments that I've contacted, community and rural affairs, the housing, local government that are responsible for local authorities, all of them have been wiping their hands of responsibility. And what we need to do now is get a sit down with senior council officials from Donegal. We'll have the local Oireachtas members present and the officials from Fáilte Ireland and the Department of Local Government, who I'm told are the relevant officials in this matter, to thrash this out and to make it clear that we need central government funding to deliver the type of reconstruction of Swan Park that's required.
And indeed, it's almost a year now since the park and much of the Nishuan Peninsula was damaged in the flooding. Are you hopeful that some answers could be given next week?
For me, this is a puzzle, because the government rightly stepped up to the plate in terms of roads and bridges. So the serious damage that was done to roads and bridges across the Inishowen Peninsula and East Donegal has almost all been resolved and restored. So the big gap is Swan Park, and we need to resolve this issue. We're talking here about a major tourism and community amenity in Buncrana and in the Inishowen Peninsula. And it is, I have to say, outrageous, really, that 10 months later it's lying in ruins. I don't believe that would happen anywhere else in the country. So I hope now that we have the responsible government officials sat down in front of us next Wednesday, and that we put together a plan. That's the least that the people of Buncrana and Inishowen expect after 10 months of no action and failure.
A major manhunt is underway after a shooting in Wicklow which left a 50-year-old man dead and two others seriously injured. Up to 20 people were training at Bray Boxing Club when a gunman entered and opened fire just before 7 a.m. Katie Taylor's father, Pete, is one of those taken to hospital with non-life-threatening injuries. Gardaí believe the gunman made off in a silver-coloured Volkswagen Caddy with Northern Ireland registration plates. Superintendent Pat Ward is urging anyone with information to come forward.
We're also asking people who were in the gym this morning to contact us. We have the names of most of the people who were in the gym, but if there is anybody who was using the gym this morning and they haven't been in touch, please contact us and we'll talk to you in confidence.
Two men have been arrested in connection with a number of cross-border offences carried out in recent days. Police in Strabane received a report that two men were seen acting suspiciously in the Castlegrange Park area of the town this morning. A car that was reported stolen during a creeper-style burglary in Derry during the early hours of this morning was also recovered. And it has emerged too that the vehicle had been used in several burglaries in County Donegal. Trish Lafferty has more.
Shortly after 8:20 a.m. this morning, police received a report that two men were acting suspiciously in the Castlegrange Park area of the town. Officers in Strabane responded, and following a search of the area, the suspects were detained. The two men, aged 27 and 36, were arrested, and a red colour Peugeot car that had been reported stolen during a creeper-style burglary in the Cove Park area of Derry during the early hours of this morning was recovered by police. It has emerged that the same vehicle had been used in several burglaries in Donegal in recent times, in which bank cards and a large sum of money was stolen. The suspects were also viewed on CCTV footage, causing damage to a vehicle on the Lifford Road. The two men remain in custody and are being questioned in relation to the offences.
Design work has started on a new library and general education building at Letterkenny Institute of Technology, which will accommodate a learning resource centre, IT and innovation laboratories and online learning facilities. The 5,100 square metre facility is one of 11 public-private partnership projects being advanced at institutes of technology around the country. LYIT President Paul Hannigan says it's the first time the college has been involved in a public-private partnership.
We have been working very closely with the Department of Education and the Higher Education Authority on this. Internally, we've been looking at what we require from this new building, and there's been a lot of discussion with staff, etc., as to what the content of the new building should be. And then we work directly with the Higher Education Authority and the Department to look at in terms of, does that meet their requirements and within budget, etc. And now that the design teams have been appointed by the Department of Education, that's obviously another step on the road, and we're very positive about the project and how it's progressing.
The fact that this is a public-private partnership also adds a new dimension to it.
Well, it's the first time we've been involved directly in one of these public-private partnerships, so, you know, our responsibility is to make sure that we have defined exactly what we want from the new building before we hand it over to it. The design team. The amount of work that has gone on here through Mary Daly, our estates manager, and other staff, is really to make sure that we have the best possible building that it meets the needs of our students and our staff. Let's see how it works in terms of the PPP. It's always a concern when you're involved in a bundle with a number of other projects. We're very positive about it, and we hope it'll work out.
And this also, of course, tied in with the move towards technological university status as well with your colleagues in GMIT and Sligo.
Yeah, that's always there. You know, there's a lot of work going on that at the moment. We're working through working groups in different areas trying to meet the criteria for technological university. I suppose the publication of the legislation earlier in the year has put an additional impetus into that space. So we're working very closely with those two partners, as we are on other projects as well.
The number of patients awaiting inpatient beds at Irish hospitals in May has reached the highest figure ever for that month. However, in Letterkenny, the figure fell, as Rory Williams now reports.
The Irish Nurses and Midwives Organisation says 9,091 people were waiting on trolleys or in overcrowded wards, a rise of 12% on May last year. The two highest figures were recorded at University Hospital Limerick with 858 and Cork University Hospital with 826. INMO General Secretary Philney Hay says the figures are much too high.
We said something different has to happen this year, and has to happen very early, because obviously with May being so high, it does give an indication that the rest of the year is going to deteriorate, and we're going to have increasing numbers. Last year we nearly hit 100,000 people for whom there were no beds, and if you go by these figures, we will definitely exceed that this year unless we intervene now and put corrective measures in place.
Conversely, at Letterkenny University Hospital, the year-on-year figure fell by 39%, with 310 people awaiting admission at the hospital last month, compared to 507 in May 2017.
Meanwhile, at Letterkenny University Hospital this morning, there were 30 people awaiting inpatient beds, 8 of them on emergency department trolleys. That's the joint second highest figure in the country, alongside University Hospital Galway. Nationally, the figure was 425, with the highest number 48 at University Hospital Limerick.
Sport on Highland, brought to you by Michael Murphy Sports and Leisure. Gear up for the bank holiday with sizzling summer specials all weekend.
It's now 5:15 and time to leave at sport with Kenny Harkin.
Thanks, Michaela. Good evening. Starting with soccer, and Manchester United have moved a step closer to making their first signing of the summer. Jose Mourinho's side have agreed a deal to sign Brazilian centre midfielder Fred from Shakhtar Donetsk. It's believed United will pay more than £50 million to secure a signature, with a five-year contract expected to be agreed. While Unai Emery has made his first sign as Arsenal manager, they've announced the signing of experienced Swiss defender Stefan Lichtensteiner on what's believed to be a one-year contract. The 34-year-old joins on a free transfer from Juventus, with whom he won 7 league titles. Lichtensteiner has played 99 times for Switzerland and is part of their World Cup squad. Elsewhere, Roma have been penalised by UEFA following crowd trouble at the first leg of their Champions League semi-final against Liverpool. Europeans' governing body has fined the Italian side €50,000. They've also been banned from selling tickets to their own fans for the next away game in a UEFA competition, with a further game deferred. Irishman Sean Cox sustained serious head injuries and an attack outside the ground before that game at Anfield, and he remains in hospital. Elsewhere, Gianluigi Buffon has been banned for 3 matches by UEFA for his comments about referee Michael Oliver. The Italian goalkeeper was sent off for dissent late in the second leg of Juventus' Champions League quarter-final defeat to Real Madrid in April. Buffon played his last Juventus game in May after 17 years with the club. And Raheem Sterling says he's not affected by recent criticism as he prepares for the World Cup with England. The Manchester City winger came under scrutiny for a rifle tattoo on his leg ahead of Saturday's warm-up game against Nigeria. He was also late joining up with the squad and was booked for diving in that game at Wembley. But Sterling told Sky Sports News the upcoming tournament is his main focus.
Obviously, bad to see yourself get spoken in that light, but it's not something that I feel that gets me down, you know. I've got a World Cup to prepare for. I had training sessions every day, so my mind was already occupied, so that was the least of my worries.
Gaelic Games GA referee Chief Wally Barrett says he's in favour of introducing goal line technology. It follows the controversial ghost goal in Sunday's Munster Championship draw between Waterford and Tipperary. Waterford defender Austin Gleeson caught the ball on the line, but the score was awarded by an umpire. Barrett, who is the referee development chairman, admits it was an error and is open to exploring the hockey that if hockey can be expanded. Moving on to rugby, and Irish rugby head coach Joe Smith is expected to be chosen from a full deck for Saturday's first test against Australia in Brisbane. The squad held their first on-field session since arriving down under, with all 32 members of the squad taking a full part in training. Scrum coach Greg Feek says the group are coming to terms with their surroundings.
You couldn't time it better in terms of turning up in the weather's good, but also, you know, Brisbane, Gold Coast, I think it does help waking up, bit of heat, big yellows in the sky, and it does mean adapting in, and boys are up early this morning out there, and then we'll run around. I think the body clock will start to kick into gear pretty quick, and I think that's all part of our preparation for the test as well, is getting that into players.
In tennis, unseeded Italian Marco Cecchinato is on course for a famous win at the French Open. The 25-year-old leads 12-time Grand Slam champion Novak Djokovic by two sets in their quarter-final at Roland Garros. Djokovic is 4-1 up in the third set. The winner of that will face Dominic Thiem in the last four. He reached a third French Open semi-final in a row with a straight sets win against Germany's second seed, Alexander Zverev. Zverev had been struggling with a hamstring injury throughout, with TM eventually winning 6-4, 6-2, 6-1. In the women's draw, Madison Keys and Sloane Stephens have set up an All-American semi-final. 13th seed Keys secured her place in the semi-finals for the very first time, beating Kazakhstan's Yulia Putintseva. 7-6, 6-4 was the scoreline in that one. And reigning US Open champion Stephens was a 6-3, 6-1 winner against Russia's Daria Kasatkina. And Andy Murray, he's hoping that he'll be able to compete in Wimbledon next month. The Scottish three-time Grand Slam champion has been out of action for almost a year and had a hip operation in January. Murray admits that his recovery has been slower than expected, but he hopes to be fit to make his return during the grass court season. In boxing, the countdown's on for a big night of boxing in London's York Hall tomorrow evening. Sean McGoldrick from Newport in Wales, a boxer with strong Donegal connections, is on the bill, and he's up against Craig Derbyshire. It's McGoldrick's sixth professional contest at bantamweight, and so far he has a record of 5-0. And there'll be plenty of Ballyshannon and Donegal supporters in the crowd tomorrow night. Finally, for this evening in golf, Shane Lowry has secured his place in the US Open later this month. The Offaly man will be in the field for the second major of the year, having finished joint first in the qualifying tournament in Ohio. There was no such luck for Patrick Harrington and Paul Dunn, who both missed out on a place at the qualifying tournament at Walton Heath in England. That's all your sport for this evening. The next sport here in Highland will be after the 8 o'clock news tomorrow morning. For the moment, it's back to Michaela.
Thanks, Kenny. Three journalists have told the Disclosures Tribunal this afternoon that they were not briefed negatively about Morris McCabe by Superintendent Dave Taylor. The tribunal is currently examining claims by the former Garda press officer that he was ordered by Garda management to smear Sergeant McCabe. Earlier, journalist Mick Clifford said he believes that Superintendent Taylor only disclosed the smear campaign after he encountered his own troubles in the force. Juliet Gash reports.
RTE's John Burke told the tribunal this afternoon he's mystified as to why Superintendent Dave Taylor mentioned him in a list of 11 journalists he says he briefed negatively about Morris McCabe. Mr. Burke says he's absolutely certain he was never negatively briefed by the former Garda press officer. Frank Graney from News Talk also confirmed he was never negatively briefed on Sergeant McCabe by Superintendent Taylor, nor was the whistleblower even mentioned. The same goes for ex-editor of the Irish Examiner Tim Vaughan, whose former colleague Mick Clifford told the Tribunal that Dave Taylor said there were text messages smearing Maurice McCabe. Mr. Clifford said Superintendent Taylor blamed his arrest and suspension from the force on then-Commissioner Noreen O'Sullivan's desire to get her hands on his phone, as it was a smoking gun, implicating her in a smear campaign. Superintendent Taylor has previously told the Tribunal that the campaign was carried out verbally rather than by text message. Juliette Gash at the Disclosures Tribunal.
Donegal is among seven locations set to become free public Wi-Fi zones as part of a new scheme. Sligo, Westport, Monaghan, Knock and Carrick on Shannon will benefit from the initiative, which is supported by local authorities and business groups. Two further town centre locations are due to be announced in Kerry and Donegal. Access points will be installed at local businesses to allow the provision of Wi-Fi within town centres. The British Prime Minister is being asked to become involved in the case of 12-year-old Billy Caldwell from Castlederg, whose prescription for medicinal cannabis has been revoked without warning. Westron MLA Daniel McCrossan has written to Theresa May and other senior politicians and officials saying it's unacceptable that the Home Office has threatened legal action against Billy's GP. He says he wants to determine where the decision to revoke the permission came from and why the GP's medical opinion has been ignored.
O'Hare has been a huge asset, hugely supportive, a man that has, in my view, saved Billy's life to this point, has been put in a very bad position by those above him. If we don't do something quickly, I'm very, very concerned about Billy's well-being in future. I want to know who interfered, who has went over and above the professional medical opinion of the local GP. Someone has went over his head and contradicted his medical opinion. We need to get to the bottom of this. This is a bit of life or death situation.
Concerns that a hard border may be put in place after Brexit are growing after the PSNI confirmed the plans to sell a number of former PSNI stations along the border have been shelved. Three decommissioned stations, including buildings in Castlederg and Auchnacloy, will now be retained, leading to speculation that they could reopen as part of a post-Brexit border security plan. Castlederg Councillor Rory McHugh says that would not be acceptable.
In reaction to the Chief Constable's confirmation that Castlederg PSNI station is not in the process any longer of being sold, I would have to say that it's a very bad decision. This station is an eyesore on the landscape of Castlederg, and I would like to see the station obviously removed and handed back to the community for either social regeneration or community use.
What do you think that says about the assertions that there is to be no border?
Well, I think it makes a mockery of Theresa May's assertion that there would be no hard border or soft border. But I think the message has to go out loud and clear from the community and Castlederg, and indeed the wider border community, that we cannot be the fall guys for the fallout from the DUP Tory Brexiteers.
For weather now, an isolated thundery downpour is possible this evening, but most areas will be dry with spells of hazy sunshine. Any showers will die out early tonight to leave it dry with clear spells, with lowest temperatures of 10 to 13 degrees. And just to have a look at the closing headlines, the new County Donegal Development Plan for 2018 to 2024 has come into effect as of today. The plan, which sets out a land use policy framework to guide how Donegal develops into the future, was adopted by members of Donegal County Council last month following extensive public consultations and engagement with numerous stakeholders. €2.24 million has been allocated to Donegal County Council under the Community Involvement Scheme. Speaking on today's 9 till noon show, Transport Minister Shane Ross confirmed that it is part of a two-year programme worth €23 million nationally, with Donegal receiving the highest allocation. Design work has started on a new library and general education building at Letterkenny Institute of Technology, which will accommodate a learning resource centre, IT and innovation laboratories and online learning facilities. The 5,100 square metre facility is one of 11 public-private partnership projects being advanced at institutes of technology around the country. And the British Prime Minister is being asked to become involved in the case of 12-year-old Billy Caldwell from Castlederg, whose prescription for medicinal cannabis has been revoked without warning. Westrone MLA Daniel McCrossan has written to Theresa May and other senior politicians and officials saying it's unacceptable that the Home Office has threatened legal action against Billy's GP. And that's all from Highland Radio News for now. You can listen back to a podcast of our main evening news on our website, highlandradio.com. We'll be back with an update again at 6 o'clock. Until then, good evening. Obituary notices for this Tuesday evening, June the 5th. The death has taken place of Joe Harn, Larkhill, Beltra, County Sligo. Remains reposing in St Bridget's Church, Corhina, Ballas O'Dare, County Sligo tomorrow evening from 7pm to 8:30pm. Funeral mass on Thursday morning at 11am, followed by burial in St Natty's Cemetery, Colooney, County Sligo. Family flowers only, please. Donations in lieu of desire to the North West Hospice and Irish Kidney Association, care of Gerard Clark and Sons Funeral Directors. How strictly private, please. The death has taken place of Tommy Patton, 3, Sean Park, Sion Mills. Remains reposing at his niece, Yvonne Hendry's home, 21 Sion Road, Sion Mills. Funeral leaving his niece's home on Thursday morning at 9:20 for Requiem Mass in St Teresa's Church, Sion Mills at 10 o'clock. Interment afterwards in St Mary's Cemetery, Melmount. Donations in lieu of flowers, please, to Foyle Hospice, care of Quigley Funeral Directors. Family time, please, from 10pm to 11am. The death has occurred in Shepherd's Bush, London, of Paul Doherty, formerly Chairman Clamani. His remains are reposing at his family home. Funeral from there on Thursday morning at 10:30, going to St Mary's Church, Clamani, for Requiem Mass at 11 o'clock. Interment afterwards in the new graveyard. Family time, please, from 10pm to 11am. The death has taken place of Peter McElhaney, 7 Judges Road, Derry, formerly of Lower Main Street, Buncrana. Requiem Mass will be celebrated in St Mary's Church, Ardmore, tomorrow morning at 11 o'clock. Interment afterwards in the adjoining cemetery. His remains are reposing at W.J. O'Brien and Sons Funeral Home, Eglinton, until 6 o'clock this evening. And the death has taken place of Bertie Gilbreth, Park Hall, Antrim, and formerly of Port Hall, Lifford. His remains are reposing at his home, 31 Central Park, Park Hall, Antrim. Removal from there tomorrow afternoon at 1 o'clock, going to 6 Mile Cemetery, Belmont Road, Antrim, for interment. Flowers or donations, if desired, to Northern Ireland Chest, Heart and Stroke.